reading to you from 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and the 18th verse. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Good evening, my dearest and friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe, and you know I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and oh, I'm so glad that I followed him. You know, friends, maybe tonight you're fighting a battle. You know what God wants you to do, but I don't have the faith to do it. Well, listen, beloved, you pray this simple prayer, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Now, God will not lead you out into a wild goose chase. If he's called you to do this, you better do it, because you're putting your life in danger. Oh, yes, you are. My, my. I knew a young man that God was calling to preach, and he didn't want to preach. What'd he do? He started running from the Lord. His little boy died, got his attention. Then he came back and he surrendered to preach. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax? Maybe make yourself a peanut butter jelly sandwich or a cup of coffee or a glass of milk. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? You know, friends, not so terribly long ago, a good friend of mine, Bill Elton, who was our class president in class of 42 in the Dalles, and he loves music, of course. He's not the only one. I do, too. In fact, his son and his daughter-in-law was two of the best singers and songwriters I ever knew. I never knew why they didn't get an opportunity. Well, maybe if you live in a small town, you don't get the opportunities, I guess, that they do in the big city. But anyway, Bill said, I went over to this church the other day and I listened to the Liberty Quartet. Well, he sent me the tape and I listened to it and my eyes got big and I got tears in my eyes, patted my foot a couple of times. But they have a message, a real message. Now, the only reason I can play this because I'm going to give you their address, their email. It's www.libertyquartet.com. And in case your church would like to get these people to come over, I know they're busy, but I don't think they're so big shot that they won't go to a little church or a big church. Anyway, I want you to really listen to this song that they sing. It's called Thirsty.
One day I came to him, I was so thirsty. I asked for water, my throat was so dry. He gave me water that I had never dreamed of. But for this water, my Lord had to die. He said, I thirst. Yet he made the river. He said, I thirst. Yet he made the sea. Oh, I thirst, said the King of the ages. In his great thirst, he brought water. There's a river that flows as clear as crystal. It comes from God's throne above. And like a river, it wells up inside me, bringing mercy and life-giving love. He said, I thirst, yet he made the river. He said, I thirst, yet he made the sea. I thirst, said the King of the great thirst, he brought water to me.
Oh, he said, I thirst, yet he made the rivers. He said, I thirst, yet he made the sea.
Thank you, Bill, for sending me that tape. My stars in the morning. Those guys got it. You know, though Bill and I can't carry a tune in a bucket or a little red wagon, we know music, and this is really good. I hope and pray that maybe someday your church could get a hold of them and have them come, well, come to your city or something. You know, friends, excuse me, I've labeled this message that God give me souls for my hire. You know, one of the greatest things I've ever done in my life is try to lead a soul to Christ. No, I won't go down in history with being somebody great. And I can't even say I'm a great soul winner, but oh, I love to try. And I read in Acts 16:10. After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Friends, listen. I was asked one time, why did you walk away from $1.5 million a year business to go out and preach? Just for that same reason. Because God called me to do it. Did I have a lot of faith? Of course I didn't. But I did know that Jesus would supply my need. That was his promise. If you learn what God said he would do for you, you won't be afraid. And if you are called of God for some particular job or ministry, all you need to do is, if you're a little frightened and it's all right, you just bow your head and say, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Then take up your cross and follow Jesus. Oh, friends, it's an adventure. This last 54 years of my 55-year life, I have enjoyed it. I've had lots of sickness, financial adversities, and a lot of things. But I kept on keeping on because he told me to. He called me to do it. I didn't do this on my own. If I did, I'd have fell flat on my face. Well, winning souls is the most important job a man will ever do in this lifetime. Now you say, Cecil, how much is a $20 bill? Well, it's not much in this day's economy. But I can tell you what a $20 bill did in a man's life. many, many, many years ago, when I was a director of the rescue mission in North Dakota, I received a phone call from the welfare department. And this lady said, Preacher, we have a young lady, 18 years old, with a little bitty baby over here. And she left her husband. They've been having lots of trouble, and he was abusive to her. And so, could we send her over to the mission? Could you help her? I said, send her over. So the lady come over there, and she come in the mission, and I said, have you had dinner yet? And she said, no. I said, well, you go in there and sit down in the dining room, and I'll make you a dinner. So I went in and cooked her up a meal and took it in and gave it to her, and she didn't have any diapers left. So I went down to the store and bought her some diapers and brought them back. And I sat down beside her and I said, well, young lady, let's start from the beginning. Well, she said, me and my husband's in the Air Force. And we've been having lots of trouble lately. And we've been going to marriage counselors and that wasn't helping. And so finally I couldn't take it, so I left. You know, folks, it wasn't 15 minutes later, in walked this big 6-foot giant. Of course, I'm 5'6", so anything looks giant to me over 5'7". And he said, there you are. And I thought he was going to grab his wife. And I stepped in, and I says, what's your problem? He said, well, I'm going to come take my wife home. I said, no, you're not. You're not taking her any place until we sit down and have a little chit-chat here. And he did. And they told me their story, and it was obvious what the big problem was. She had a new baby, and her grandparents, her mother and dad, lived out in Duluth. And they never could get enough money to go down and see him and show the baby off. I reached in my pocket, and I pulled out a $20 bill. And I handed this big airman, I said, here, son, I want to help solve your problem. Well, what will $20 do? I said, you fill up your tank of gas. You load up that wife and that little baby yours, and you head off for Duluth to show that baby off. Well, he said, I can't do it. I'm stationed in the Air Force. I said, don't worry. I can handle it. I know the general there. I speak out there many times, and I'll cover for you. I'll call tomorrow and tell him I advise you to take this trip. Well, he did. And the Saturday night, we had our meeting in church meeting in the mission, and many churches from all over the city would come to the meetings, and with my men and women who were living in the mission. And lo and behold, in walked Bill Buchanan, his wife, and his little baby. Well, I preached that day, that night, and during the invitation, his wife came forward in tears. And she said, Preacher, I want to accept this wonderful Jesus that you proclaimed tonight. And she knelt there, and I introduced her to Jesus. He was so mad that when the meeting was over, he grabbed her by the arm, and out that door they went, and the baby. And I thought, boy, I'll probably never see them again. Well, 2 weeks went by. Saturday night, who would walk into the mission but Bill Buchanan, his wife, minus the baby. I said, where's your little baby? And he said, well, he said, I dropped the baby when I was bathing it, in which I could see how it happened, and it fractured its skull, and she was in the hospital. That night I preached my heart out again. Who do you think came to the altar at the invitation? Bill Buchanan. That big giant of a man fell on his knees, weeping like a baby. And he said, Preacher, I want to know Jesus. I want my sins forgiven. I told you I didn't believe in God, but I do tonight. I led Bill Buchanan to the Lord, and then he left. Well, they'd come in every once in a while and buy stuff in the mission. It was just about before Christmas time. In walked Bill in my office with a big old smile on his face. I said, what you so happy about, Bill? Well, he said, I'm being transferred or shipped down to Panama. Oh, I said, I'm going to hate to see you go. they joined a church out by the base. And but he said, "Preacher, couldn't you do me a favor?" I said, "I will if I can." He reached in his pocket and he pulled out an old $10 bill. He said, "That's all the money I have. But would you invest that money in somebody else's life like you did that $20 bill you gave me?" I said, "I sure will, Bill." They left, and a few weeks later I get a letter from him telling me that him and his wife got up, settled down there, and he said, "I wanted to just share my faith, so I used to go to the mental hospital, and I'd go in there and I'd tell them about Jesus." I wrote back and I said, "Praise the Lord, Bill. Use what you got for the glory of God." And then there was years of silence. I never heard another word. I tried to find him, but I couldn't. Now, my, this has been about 20 years ago. I received a phone call from South Carolina. And this man on the voice said, "This is Bill Buchanan. Is this Cecil Moe, who used to be the director of the mission in Grand Forks?" I said, "It is I." He said, I said, "How in the world did you ever find me?" "Well," he said, "I was listening to a radio broadcast, and they were playing the Unshackled program, and they talked about a man called Cecil Moe, and they told your life story." I said, "That's me." Then he said, "I called Chicago at the rescue mission. They gave me your phone number." I said, "Bill, tell me, how's things going?" "Well," he said, "I'm dying." He said, "I've got Lou Gehrig's disease. So the Air Force threw me out." He said, "You know what, says, after I started visiting in this hospital, mental hospital, I was going to a little church down there. It was just 20 or 30 of us. And he said, one day, they had me teach Sunday school. Then the church came to me and said, 'Mr. Buchanan, we are going to call you as our pastor.'" He said, "Call me as our pastor? I'm not a preacher." They said, "Well, we want you to be our preacher." And he said, "I surrendered." Oh, he said, "Cecil, God blessed. Many, many, many souls were saved. They built a church and they had a tremendous congregation." Then he said, "I got this disease. Now," he said, "I come down here to die. My daughter is going to seminary here. The one that busted her little head up when she was a baby. And about 3 days after, I sent him my book and my movie, and about 3 days after Thanksgiving, I get a phone call from his wife. And she said, 'Brother Moe,' she said, 'Bill went home to be with Jesus. And my daughter is leaving for Africa as a missionary. $20. That's all it cost. Just $20. Friends, you know, we are so tight-fisted. I know there's preachers that's all they do is beg for money and this. I don't do that. It disgusts me. It absolutely makes me sick because they're not walking by faith. They're walking by sight. And most of them are making a lot of money. These healers are filthy rich. Benny Hinn built a $7 million home down in California. Can you see Jesus doing that? Can you see the disciples doing that? Oh, no, you couldn't, because they weren't phony. Well, friends, so that was another beautiful story. One day, a man came to me and said, "My brother," he's a converted alcoholic, "my brother lives in North Carolina. I want you to go down and try to lead him to Christ." Do you know, did you hear what I read here? After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I said, "We'll go." We left Seattle, Washington, with $30 in our pocket and my roofing equipment and my saws in the back, and our children, 5 children, and we took off for North Carolina. You said, "You are a nut, Cecil. You are a nut." No, I was called. I was asked to go. I knew I had to go. We went down there, and I borrowed $300 on my car to get back. I bought an old gospel tent, and I went to the Dalles, my hometown, and I set that big old tent, me and my friend set that big old tent up, and no churches would loan me chairs. Oh, I take that back. The first Christian church in the Dalles loaned me chairs to go preach the gospel. The first night, beloved, there was one man sitting out there all by himself with a tent that'll seat 450. But I preached my heart out. That night, he got so under conviction, he brought a whole 13 or 14 people back the next night. And I'm telling you, friends, we did that on faith. Guess where we stayed? Did we stay at a motel? No. We slept out at Celilo Falls in the little park there. My children slept in the car, and my wife and I slept on the ground. And a big old snake crawled out from underneath our bed one night like the scared the liver out of me. And God raised up the most beautiful apricot tree I ever saw in my life. Somebody brought a pound of hamburger and gave to us. Friends, I know what it is to walk by faith. Does that make me something special? Of course it don't. I just believed God. And that's why I left my $1.5 million business. I traveled halfway around the world. I've appeared on TV stations all over America. And radio broadcasts all over America and overseas. And I've written a book, and they've written a book about me, and I produced a movie. You say, "Well, boy, you must be hot stuff." No, friends, I'm not. You know what I am? I'm a sinner saved by grace. God called me, and I responded, and I thank him so much for that. But maybe I'm talking to someone tonight. I know, blessed well, you're fighting a battle of your life. And my heart goes out to you. But I want you to know, if you will do what God tells you to do, he will supply your every need he has for me. Have we had financial problems? You bet your life. Have we had sickness? Oh, I hope to kiss a pig. We have. I've been sick part of my life, big part of my life. Well, I'll be 85 next month, and I'm still plugging for Jesus. Because he called me. Now, one time I was called to a hospital to see a little lady, a little Nazarene lady, who was praying to die. I said, "Ma'am, that's the most selfish prayer I ever heard in my life." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "God's got something for you to do, and he's not going to let you go till you do what he asks you to do. Trust me." This went on. Every 2 days a week, I'd go visit her and pray with her and encourage her. One time, she was moved to the Get Well Ward, second floor up. And there, I went up there, and she said, "Brother Mo, I got to tell you what happened to me." She said, "You keep telling me God's not going to let me go home until I finish my job." I said, "That's correct." She said, "The other night, there's a man coming to visit his wife at the foot of my bed. And the Lord spoke to my heart and says, you talk to him." So when he got done visiting, I invited him over to my bed, and I said, "Sir, do you know Jesus?" He said, "No, I don't." She said, "Well, you need to trust him." He went home. The next night he came back, and he came over, and he grabbed her hand, and he said, "Sister Fisher, thank you for telling me about Jesus, because I trusted him last night." You know what? God took her home just a few days later. Friends, has God got something for you? He's not going to let you get out of here until you do it. So you might as well surrender. Now you say, "Well, Cecil, I don't know. I don't know." Quickly, my friends, I want to ask you, are you running from God tonight? You say, "Oh, Cecil, I don't think so." Well, are you? If you are, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to bow your head right now and say, "Oh, God, please help me to surrender my life, because I know that my life is on the line. I need to do what you call me to do. And when you do that, you'll get a relief. You sure will, because God will be pleased with you. Well, friend, I tell you what. Until this time next Sunday night, I want you to really pray for my wife and I. Pray for our health. We just want to keep on keeping on telling about Jesus. I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, never will be, but I sure want to tell people how Jesus can change your life. He changed mine, and I'm a living testimony that he will do what he said he will do. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor, stay sweet, keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real good.